Let me again bid you welcome, express appreciation for you, for your attendance today. Always good to get together with saints, not only to enjoy the company of one another, but to gather together the congregation to give God worship and praise. Good to be back. I want to say thank you to those who were filled in for me last week. Clarence during the Bible class hour, Dennis Everett during the sermon last week. I see we still have him scheduled today. I didn't know if he wanted to finish up from last week. But I'm here. And then Chris Delgado last Sunday evening, so appreciated that very, very much. Jim announced that he has oranges in the trunk of his car, that you get those after the assembly. I'm glad he didn't hand those out before the assembly. I might have to, you might want to throw oranges at me if I don't say something correctly or I go too long. There is an outline in the bulletin. We're going to talk about blessing the children this morning. Always, I try to mention children every so often. But there's a children's song that we sing. It's in our book. It's hymn number 1015. The title of the song, is Jesus Loves the Little Children. That's our text today. The song says, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And then Jesus really did love the children. It's in our text today. And I rewrote it in your notes. And again, it said they brought the young children to Him, that He should touch them. Touch my child. Uh-oh. The disciples rebuked those that brought them. Oh, but good. When Jesus saw it, He was much displeased. He said to them, allow the little children to come to me. Forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. So verily I say to you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. He, meaning Jesus, took them up in His arms, put His hands on them, and blessed them. So the question we ask in our lesson today is, how may we bless the children? Bless the children. Number one, bless the children by encouraging them. Encouraging them. In the story that's told here, there's three different actions concerning the children. First of all, you have the parents. They merely wanted Jesus to touch them. Just come touch my child. Second, the action of the disciples. They rebuked those that brought them. Maybe they thought, disciples, they thought, those children are just going to interrupt our time with Jesus. But just be an annoyance. Or perhaps, these children are going to be a distraction in our adult conversation with Jesus. They rebuke those that brought them. Then you have Jesus' attitude or action. He was much displeased. He didn't care for the response the disciples made. And so then Jesus encourages the children and says, allow them to come to me. Don't forbid them. One of the highest of human duties is encouragement. There's a lot of things we can do as adults or even in our relationship to one another, but one of the best things we can do is encourage one another. But sometimes, like the disciples, when it comes to children, it's easy to pour cold water on a child's enthusiasm. It's really easy to discourage children. They're busy, they're active, they're curious, they're restless. They're not shy about letting their needs be known. Children provide opportunities for us to be like the disciples. negative. Children make a mess. They're loud. They throw things. They scream. They're into things. They sure are precious. Did I tell you about my grandchildren? I remember one little boy saying, I don't understand it. Mom says she's tired, but I'm the one that has to take a nap. The Bible says in Psalm 127, verse 3, children are a heritage of the Lord. Oh, precious. Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 18, take heed. Oh, he said, listen up. That, you know, get ready. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. So, number one in our lesson, we want to be a blessing by encouraging children. Number two, I want to bless the children by setting a good example for them. The old expression, I'd rather see a sermon any day than hear one. Don't make me a man. I want to see a sermon, not want to hear it. The example of parents in the story is very wonderful. They brought them. So it says, they brought them. The example of the disciples is terrible. They rebuked those that brought them. Don't you bring those children in here. But then Jesus leads by example, blesses them. There's ways that we can bless our children and be an example to them. We can be an example to them by how we use God's word. Our children are going to see us read God's word. They're going to notice, do we just look at the word of God as good advice or some suggestions? Or will they see us using God's word that is profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness? Will they see that in us? How we use the word of God. We provide the if we're going to have a Bible class, let's open the Bible. We provide an example to our children when we pray. They do see and hear us pray. So we teach them by our participation in prayer that prayer is important in our life. Let your children hear you call their name in prayer. Their prayers will be patterned after the ones they hear us say. I remember my dad always used the prayer, opening prayer. The pattern. If I think about it, in my recollection, I never heard him open a prayer in any other way except merciful Heavenly Father. There was something about God's mercy, evidently, that my dad appreciated and was significant in his life. And so he opened every prayer, merciful Heavenly Father. So many times when I was younger, that's the way I always began my prayer. Merciful, merciful Heavenly Father. We teach by attendance in the assembly. We teach the importance and value of assembly. However, all of that is negated when we forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We want to set the example. They will see if our preaching and teaching matches our living. We're teaching by the way that we live. We teach by our conversation. We teach, you know, we're teaching love and concern for others. But that's confusing to the child when he hears us gossip and tear others down, or we're critical of all that goes on in the congregation. We're teaching love for one another, benevolence and kindness and encouragement and edification and building up. And then we say, oh, you know what those people do down there? Well, now which is the child going to believe? See, the power of example is powerful. And it's necessary in the child's life. Paul told Timothy, In 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, when I call to remembrance, oh, precious memory, faith that is in you, Timothy. Oh, but it dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded that's in you also. Oh, the power of example. So don't ever forsake what you know to do. Because you're an example. And others watch. And it doesn't always have to be children. It means just brethren, they see, oh, well, we're here in the assembly. And then, oh, they're not here next Sunday. Another one. Oh, I see them here this Sunday. Oh, but they won't be here next Sunday. Power of example, they wonder, well, if they can do it, I can too. If not, why not? What if everyone participated in worship the way you do? What if? I'm glad those oranges weren't handed out. I might be sure to eat a couple now.
No, oranges too good.
1 Peter 2, verse 21 says, "We're even here where you called. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps." Boy, what if? Do we want Jesus following our steps? We follow his steps. He was faithful. Number three.
Get off that.
Number three. Bless the children by seeing the future of a child. Seeing their future. See, when the disciples saw the children, all they saw was problems. Jesus saw a child's future. So Jesus takes this visual of children coming to him and he compares that to the coming kingdom. Uses that illustration or that visual. Whosoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child can't enter the kingdom. And he says, of such is the kingdom of God, the children. Meaning, you know, that a childlike spirit or a childlike attitude has heavenly potential. We need to imitate. There's something that we need to see in children in their coming to Jesus that we need to copy. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20, "In malice be ye children." Now quickly they forget, forgive and forget. Back playing with each other after there's a little bit of trouble. You ever notice how children enjoy Bible class? Why don't we copy that? How children play, you know, putting that quarter in the collection plate. Now adults copy everything that children do in that except for the quarter in the collection plate. But who knows? Right here in this assembly, maybe sitting one of the most productive members of the congregation in decades to come. Yeah. Parents teach the children. Grandparents teach the grandchildren. Think, oh, this is a lesson for children. Well, it's a lesson for us, no matter if we have children or grandchildren. Or you know somebody that has children. Number four is bless the children by introducing them to Jesus. Verse 13, again, the story is they brought young children to him. Jesus says, don't forbid them. No. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, the children, remember that now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Young people have the ability to remember God. They're teachable. And we want our young people to remember the creator. Because right now they're eager learners. You want to look at our two grandsons. Liam, almost 10 years old now. Look at how much he's learned in the last 10 years. Now, I have a granddaughter, and boy, I just hold her like that. I'm trying to get her to say Papa. It's not working yet. But then I look at my grandson, our grandson Liam. Look at what he's learned in the last 10 years. He's learned how to walk and talk. Play games, goes to school. He's learned vocabulary, all kinds of things, math and science. And And by comparison, what have I learned? But your point is, you see, children can learn and learn so much they gain in 10 years from holding like this to being that size. So Paul said, or the psalmist said, remember now thy creator. They can do that too. They've remembered a lot of things. Plus, when remembering God while they're young, when they're older, they may not depart from that teaching. But if they do depart when they get older, they still have that groundwork, that foundation. And who knows, even if they depart, there's something that may come to their heart and they come back to God. Because the foundation was laid. So we don't give up on our children, no matter how old they are. If they remember God in their youth, it gives us older folks hope and encouragement. When you see young people interested in Jesus, yeah, it encourages me. All of us. When young people remember Jesus or remember God, it keeps us older people involved. Because we want to bring them along and lead them and guide them in the right way. And Solomon also gives the warning to young people. In chapter 11, verse 9, it says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth. But the next chapter says, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. But chapter 11, verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Let your heart cheer you eyes. Next phrase is, but know this, that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. I just want to have a good time. I'll remember God later. Yeah, okay, young man or young lady. Rejoice in your youth, but remember this. Or no, he says no. I'm given the charge in Ephesians 6, verse 4. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You see, parents have an obligation. An obligation to God that we bring our children up in the faith. That they remember. My parents did that to me. My brother. I'm going to use the phrase, I was a drug baby. I drugged a vacation Bible school, drugged every gospel meeting, drugged every assembly. Summer, drugged the summer camp. Fathers have that obligation. I don't want to forsake that charge. The value of Bible knowledge, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, told him, from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures. Children can know the Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. 1 Samuel 1, verse 11, remember Hannah in the Old Testament, she prayed for a son, a child. She said, God, if you answer my prayer, I will give him to you all the days of your life. What if that was the resolution of every Christian parent? God, you give me a child. I'm going to give him to you. I'm going to instill within him knowledge of the Scriptures. There's a poem. I'm going to close with this one. It's a poem that's titled God's Loan. And we have our children. We're not ever sure how long children are going to be with us. Children can die young. That's kind of what this poem is saying. It says, I'll lend to you for a little time a child of mine, he said, for you to love the while he lives and mourn for when he's dead. It may be 6 or 7 years or 22 or 3, but will you, till I call him back, take care of him for me? He'll bring his charms to gladden you, and should his stay be brief, you'll have these precious memories as solace for your grief. I cannot promise he will stay since all from earth return. But there are lessons taught down there I want this child to learn. I've looked this whole world over in my search for teachers true. And in the crowds that throng life's land, I've selected you. Now, will you give him all your love? Do not think the labor vain, nor hate me when I come to call to take him back again. Seems to me, I heard them say, dear Lord, thy will be done. Bring the risk of grief I'll run. Yeah. We'll shelter him with tenderness for the happiness we've known, forever grateful stay than the last. Should the angels call for him much sooner than we've planned, we'll brave the bitter grief that comes and try to understand. You ever experienced the death of a loved one, of a child? Yeah, we try to understand. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. Try to encourage you today to bless the children. One of the best ways to bless the children for us as adults is to become a Christian. If we said in the lesson, set that example before them. So we sing this song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation, whosoever will may come. You've heard the good news message that God so loved the world. You believe that. As Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. Well, I don't want to die in my sins. Repent or perish. I don't want to perish either. So I want to hear a good news message and I want to believe it. Put myself on God's side and I want to turn my life around and confess that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And then I'll be baptized for remission of sins. As Paul said in Romans chapter 6, the opening verses, and then rise to walk in newness of life. I'm on God's side. And from that point on, then we begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's the invitation we extend. If you're subject to that, if that's your desire, if that's your resolve to obey that good news gospel message, just come and have a seat.